It's time for Sports Lit 101, and we're happy to welcome back to the show a gentleman who's been on a couple of times with us in the past, former Richmond Spider, former Poet Laureate of the State of Virginia, the talented Ron Smith joins us. Ron, welcome back.
Hi.
Great to have you back with us again.
You sound very clear.
Glad to hear that. I strive for clarity, at least vocally, even if what I'm saying makes no sense.
So, Ron,
it's beautiful here, by the way.
It's lousy here. It's about 50 degrees warmer than it should be. The snow is mostly gone, and I'm miserable, but everyone else seems to be somewhat pleased by that. Ron,
yeah, I'm from the deep south, so I appreciate the wilt.
Yes. One of the reasons we're talking today, obviously, is the re-release of Running Again in Hollywood Cemetery, a fabulous collection of poems. And for our listeners who may not remember this, it was a runner-up and nominated and mentioned in a number of national prizes. And with the judges were the little-known Margaret Atwood and Donald Hall, among others. When you look back at this now that it's been re-released and with a new press, how does it strike you? You still happy with it?
You know, I'm very happy with it. I probably shouldn't say it might be my best book. you should never say that, of course. I really like it. And I thought if I ever got it reprinted that there was one word I'd want to remove. The word "the" in a poem toward the end, and of course when I found Mad Hat, and they asked to reprint it in a new edition, I made some changes all the way through. So I found more than one "the" to cut, as it turned out.
Well, I have noticed when poets, very great poets like you and other friends that I know read that they'll very often be reading from a book. And if I look over their shoulder, I'll see that they've already made changes in the book after the book was published. So I suppose a poem is never done.
No, that's absolutely true. And frankly, I'm surprised at how much I like these old poems as I go back through them. Because you figure, you know, you're always moving forward, looking ahead, not back. And, you figured that you won't like the earlier stuff, but I really like them. So I'm pleased that it's a back in print and a beautiful new edition.
And obviously, it's good that you appreciate those. But are you of the mindset that the best piece you've ever written is the one you're working on right now?
Always, yes. Well, let's put it this way: early on, when you begin it, you think this is the best idea I've ever had. And then after a few drafts, you think, this is the worst poem I've ever written. toward the finishing of the poem, that's when you think, okay, look what I've learned and how I've grown over the years. It's a good illusion to have.
Well, that segues into what I was going to first ask you about, and that is right now there's a tremendous amount of poetry that's just being written in response to current events. It becomes almost... You know, you see websites like Rattle, and they make a call, and 2 days later, they're publishing poems. I've always thought one of the great things about your poetry is that it is enduring because it's so thoughtful, and it's not written to solve the world's problem today, but to look at it in a bigger picture. Are you finding that as sports changes, that you're sort of discovering that, or you're sort of investigating that in the work you're doing today?
Well, let's put it this way. Poems written for the moment have to be poems that, when I read them or when I'm writing them, they have to be poems that I think are about more than the moment. But they have to live in the moment, too. So, mm-hmm. I don't believe in instant poetry. If it's just about what you just heard on the radio now, and that's all it's about, or you're shouting at the TV last night, as we all do these days, then you've got to find a way to make the immediate surface of things into some kind of. It's got to have roots. It's got to be a metaphor of some kind that can survive the changes. Now, one change that I've noticed that really does make a difference in the poems. And I don't write much about about contemporary politics, for instance. And we could talk about that later. But sports have changed so much. Football has changed so much since I played and coached that my football poems in particular, almost everything that is celebrated or pointed to is now illegal.
Right.
And frankly, it should have been illegal back then. I mean, you know, hitting people helmet to helmet. You know, I remember a few years ago, I heard that I guess it was the New Orleans Saints coach got into trouble for putting out a hit on some opponent.
Right.
My phone started ringing, and all my old teammates said, "What the hell? That's illegal."
Well, you were a wedge buster, and they won't allow that anymore.
No, that's right. They don't want to allow the wedge and you know, hitting below the waist on the kickoff and all kinds of stuff that never should have been allowed is it's in the poems now. And I've got a poem in one of the newer books about the biggest three concussions I ever had. Everybody I knew had them all the time.
Yeah, do you have that at hand that you would read, or do you have something else you'd like to read? Because we want to hear you read some poems, too. And I don't care which ones you read, because they're all good.
Oh, well, thank you. I might have to do some searching for that one.
Well, you don't have to. You can read a different one, because I can always make you read that one in St. Louis when I see you in June.
Okay. it's called The Big Three, by the way. And if you find it in one of my books, maybe I can look it up. But, a friend of mine who, an American journalist who lives in Italy, she's read some of my poems, and at one point she says, "Why do you write about baseball? Why do you write about sports?" Like, you know, she just found something nasty on the street. my answer is I write about what you know best and what you feel most and think about most. So if it's profound art, great. And if it's lifting weights, that's great too. I mean, whatever human beings can do, you can write poems about. So why don't I read Photograph of Jesse Owens at the Gun?
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
And this is dedicated to three poets who actually gave me some help early on: Dave Smith, Terry Hummer, and Carolyn Kaiser. They had conflicting recommendations, by the way.
It always works, though.
So here's the poem. The poem assumes that the reader knows about the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. And there's a line later on, "Tears of Berlin," spelled T-I-E-R-S, but you're welcome to find a pun. Anyway, here you go. Photograph of Jesse Owens at the Gun. Beneath a puff of white gun smoke, a man the shade of cinders has risen from between white lines at an angle sharp with speed. He is himself a thrust of angles, one foot down, one hand reaching, elbow, knee, the single bend at the waist, all his flesh strung tight. In the background row of pale blurred faces, these who appear to wear his colors must be his teammates. We can tell only that they do not seem to cheer. Behind them, the tears of Berlin mass into gray clouds. All the races of 1936 are stopped inside this black frame. The man whose captured body pulls us to the wall cannot reach the tape, his form caught here in the rough shape of the swastikas that fly in the corner. Nothing moves, nothing changes. We stare and stare.
That's good stuff. That's very good. You know, do you have It's Ghostly Workshop handy?
I will have. Hold on.
Talking with Ron Smith here on Sportslit 101 on Downtown.
Is that Bruce?
Yeah, that's Rich. But one of my favorite poems is "The Day Jerry Suna Came to Baseball Practice Drunk." And I don't think we had you read that last time, because you read Yankees, I remember, to end last time. And I was looking at that yesterday when I was sort of flipping through, and I was just saying, man, I love that poem. Maybe I can get Ron to read it.
Oh, great. Okay. So which one were you asking me about?
The day Jerry Suna came to baseball practice drunk. It's on page 57 in Ghostly Workshop.
In Ghostly Workshop. Okay.
I never remember what poems are in which of my books and on what pages. So
I'll tell you that that poem was published with the actual guy's name in it in the title, because I actually saw this very talented athlete come to baseball practice once drunk, and so he was such a nutcase that I figured he would be very proud to have his idiotic behavior featured. And but before I put it in the book, I thought, you know, maybe I should change his name. Maybe he's changed and he might get pissed off. So so I changed it to Suna, Jerry Suna.
Mm-hmm.
If you spell Suna backwards, you'll see.
Yes. Yeah,
I... point. All right, let me see here. Yeah, there we go. What page did you say it was on?
57.
57, yeah. Yeah, the title alone will get your attention, I think.
Yeah.
The day Jerry Suna came to baseball practice drunk was the day I decided to join the track team. We didn't know how bad it was until he stretched his lanky self all the way out and took my throw from third whunk in the chest and didn't even blink. The shortstop's rocket tipped his glove, took his hat off. He laughed and chased it. That's when I caught myself looking way across the grass to where the fat boys spun into themselves and flung wobbly UFOs at the sky. We weren't very good anyway, and at the plate I was the most not very good of us all. Every pitch a dissolving streak I rarely got around on. I had a good reason, a girl reason, to pin one right between his eyes, to hope at least Coach DeLoach would throw him off the team. But I was glad when Coach pretended to think Jerry was just having an off day and benched him for the rest of practice and let Hunter get some time at first. I would have quit, but didn't have the guts. No more guts than Coach, who looked the other way every day about one thing or another. Dog sprints, muttered bitching, pop flies falling and falling untouched between second and center. The fat boy spun. No one I knew had marched on Washington yet or died in Vietnam. I backhanded a stinging liner, rushed and fumbled another dribbler. They spun, they strolled out, they strolled back. In a year, I had slipped away from the chatter and the mixed signals, the long outs, flaying slides on that rocky infield, wasted sacrifices. The fat boys grew a few muscles, went off to college or the jungle. I found myself filling out, alone in a magic circle, whirling my world all afternoon. From where I stood, baseball was a bunch of squawking and little puffs of pink dust, cracks, thunks, occasional jackal laughter. I made that black blood blister peel and harden to a callus on my right pointing finger, got down that dizzy technique, working a notch in my own flying saucer, warm breeze on my skin, walking out between the grass and the clouds all by myself, walking back.
Wow, that is terrific.
And as an old track coach, I love that because I think of how many times somebody came over from baseball and said, you know, I want to try hurdles or I want to try the javelin or something, and then found something they loved.
And as an old baseball coach,
that's right.
I appreciate the guys dogging it out there. I might have seen that a time or two. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I was very happy to be a discus thrower on the track team and not a half miler. I did do once.
I ran the 880 once. That was it.
Yeah, I ran in three times in meets and got worse every time.
Well, I told my coach once around, more than once around is redundant, so I stop at 440 yards. Ron, thanks so much for being with us. I'm certainly looking forward to seeing you in St. Louis and hearing new poems and the like. And congratulations on the reissue, man, because it's a really great.
Thanks for calling.
Great. You bet.
Yeah. All right. Good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ron. We appreciate it. That's Ron Smith with us here on Downtown. And the name of the book again?
Oh, the new one that, well, the one that's been re-released is Running Again in Hollywood Cemetery. Other books include Moon Road and Its Ghostly Workshop. One of my very favorite poets. I'm so glad that I got to meet him and find his work because he's really good.
Oh, he's so good. And he's just such a delight to talk with.
I know. He's just a great guy. I love hanging out with him. And great time with him at a reading in France last summer. He's just, and the first time I got to meet his wife, Doris, and it's just great guy.
And
great
just guy. One of the funniest people to ever talk to.
Yeah, he's hysterical. And I'll tell you, have a glass of bourbon and branch water with him sometimes, sitting around and where you don't have to worry about the FCC.
Oh, yeah.
It could be very funny.
I'll just bet.